We're back. Oh, we're back. And what a week that we have had. And you know, it's so good to be back here. We had our Halloween episode, and we kind of played that twice because, you know, it was a holiday. But oh my goodness, do we have a week to recap? And the guy that's going to help us out with that is none other than Wisdem's chair, Devin Remiker. Mr. Chairman, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We've had a very exciting week for the Democratic Party across the country, and I think 2026 could be an exciting year for Democrats coming right around the corner.
Yes, and you know, last time that you were here, you were not chairman. You were, you know, running to do that. So first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk about what that means, I think, for Wisconsin in the last segment. But I really want to start with big picture. Wow. What message was sent?
Well, I think Democrats were laser focused on what we are hearing is voters' top concern, which is just the skyrocketing cost of living, that the basic life that people want to lead isn't affordable, whether it is the cost of groceries, healthcare, or if you rely on basic benefits to be able to live off of. I think that the shutdown right now, it is clear that voters are blaming the Republicans who control the presidency, the Senate, and the House for not being able to come to the table and get a deal done. I think Republicans were kind of hoping that by letting the whole thing burn, by letting it fail, that somehow it would create an opportunity for them. And I am, I think I'm very proud of the fact that people finally took this as an opportunity to take a stand, to say enough was enough and send a clear, resounding message across our country. And these weren't just blue states. I'm seeing a lot of Republicans saying, oh, you know, Democrats won in blue states. Big surprise. Virginia had a Republican.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, we also won races in Georgia, Texas, Mississippi. I mean, this was across the country. And I think that, folks are finally waking up to what Trump's agenda is, and they are ready to fight back and vote against it.
So you do think that, because Republicans have been like laser focused as well. This is the Democrat shutdown, which, by the way, I freaking hate when the Democrat party. It's like you're being a child. Shut up. But you do think that people saw through that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think both in the states where there were elections, but also we're seeing that here in Wisconsin. I looked at the Marquette poll really closely that came out last week.
What did it say?
It said a heck of a lot. The number one issue that most folks had some concern about was cost of living and inflation. 69% were basically very concerned or concerned about that. But there was another number. It's actually the same number. 69% of people thought that President Trump was either actively making the issue worse or doing nothing to address it with his policies. And I think that is a big recipe for disaster for Republicans. Not only that, but a plurality of Republicans even believe that the tariffs, you know, kind of the center point of Republican economic messaging for folks like Tom Tiffany, who's now trying to run for governor, 32% of Republicans thought that those tariffs are hurting farmers. So I think that, you know, what is clearly on display is who is fighting for the working class, who is taking a stand to try to make people's lives better. And that's the Democratic Party. And I think the Republicans have betrayed a lot of their fundamental values. I mean, I talk to a lot of, former Republicans, former conservatives who can't believe how the government has gotten involved by being a shareholder of private sector companies, of putting these tariffs in place, flying in the face of, you know, free and fair trade across the world. And I think that this both is the reason why we are seeing a rejection, not just from Democrats, but from independents. And we're starting to see defection even from Republicans.
So what does that do? Like, kind of going forward, you know, I mean, it was interesting being part of that coalition of like the Lincoln Project Republicans when I was a Republican, obviously not anymore. But, you know, is that still a focus coming up where if we have these people that are defecting the party, do they have room here? Is that something that we really want to focus on and grow the party here?
If I have anything to say about it, absolutely. I mean, we need to have a bigger tent as a Democratic Party. And, you know, although I really appreciate, you know, you and others like you who came forward in 2024, I can also recognize how some people didn't feel like that tent was quite big enough, that if you didn't agree with the Democratic Party 100% of the time, even if you were 80% of the way there, maybe that felt like it wasn't good enough and you weren't welcome. You know, ultimately, to me, politics is the art of addition, not subtraction. I think that we have to find a way to build a durable coalition that can produce Democratic majorities in this state if we want to be a blue state. You know, my mission as Democratic Party chair is to, yes, win elections in a 50-50 battleground state, but to eventually get us to the point where we don't have to be sweating bullets about the fate of democracy every single election. And in order to do that, we have to either win back people we've lost, mobilize new folks to come into the fold, or do both. And I think it's always a yes and strategy in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I'd love to hear that because I do. That's kind of my, you know, my pet issue is growing that tent. Well, yeah, I mean, because it matters. And especially it matters because I think that the Republicans, all they're doing is making their tent more insular. They're closing in the walls. And I think it's only going to get worse when these policies really start. I mean, they're hurting everybody now, but I don't think we've seen the bottom yet. And they're only going to circle the wagons more and they're going to die with this Trumpism.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a disaster in the making. And, you know, I think that Republicans have relied on sort of, excuse the pun, building walls for quite a long time, whether it was in ideology, whether it was in their messaging. And I think that what is happening now is that for a lot of people, you can only sort of talking point your way past the objective reality that many people are facing, including many people that likely supported Donald Trump in 2024 based on false promises that he wouldn't go after the benefits that folks relied on, wouldn't go after Social Security, you know, would sort of remain focused. I think that they are seeing that these things are being ripped away. They're being made more expensive. I mean, if you look at by congressional district, sort of where the biggest impacts are to folks who are at risk of losing their health care or at risk of losing SNAP, not even just from the shutdown, but from the bill that was already passed, signed into law, that's a done deal earlier this year. You know, the 7th congressional district, the 3rd congressional district are both in the top three in the entire state. And the 2nd congressional district, dead last. I mean, this is actually disproportionately impacting folks that are in conservative areas represented by Republican representatives in Congress. And, you know, I think that that's a very hard thing to talking point your way past at the end of the day.
I think it is too. What when you look at some of the big races from Tuesday, as we're talking to Chairman Devin Remicker of Wisconsin Democratic Party, what do the candidates tell us that you know, about where the party is headed, what people are saying? Because like you have a guy in Mamdani who is the mayor elect of New York City, Democratic Socialist, very left. But then we have some of the more moderate people in the other states that won their governorships. It's a mixed bag.
My perspective on this is, when I look at these candidates, right, and what they focused on, I think they were all kind of addressing, in many cases, the core issue of cost of living and affordability, that people feel like they are working harder than ever before, but they're getting further and further behind. And, you know, I think that looks different in New York City compared to, you know, Virginia, where obviously rent is a really big deal in a city where owning your own home is few and far between. You know, I don't think anyone's sitting here thinking that rent control is sort of the key policy playing right the entire state of Wisconsin, right? Like, someone in Spooner isn't that into rent control. They have other problems, but it's not rent control. You know, what my big takeaway was is that folks need to authentically, honestly, find ways to engage and not condescend or talk down to people or take them for granted, but to present themselves in an earnest, honest way. And I think people are hungry for that. I think they want to understand that there are people who are willing to take the issue seriously, to present solutions that can actually get us out of the mess that we're in and improve their life. You know, that to me was my biggest lesson, is that there's tons of different ways to do this. But the most important thing is to listen to what voters actually want and make sure that you are able to show up in a way that is authentic and honest, that people believe that you are going to actually do what you say.
I think it's interesting, excuse me, because, you know, you watch some of the punditry and everything on election night. When Democrats talk about kitchen table issues to people, they win. full stop. Absolutely. And I think it's been interesting to see, you know, what Republicans have to run on is this works. And here's how, you know, it's Donald Trump was talking about how the price of your Thanksgiving dinner is going to be the lowest. Bull, you know what? Tell that to people that are actually going out and grocery shopping. You can't say that with a straight face and tell them that the economy is great when people are losing their jobs and people are getting foreclosed on. And this hurts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I find it very difficult to imagine what it would look like to watch Donald Trump walking down the aisle in like Woodman's, you know, just trying to like
grocery. It's an old fashioned word. It's a beautiful word.
He has no idea. I mean, truly, he is so out of touch. And I think that, you know, that once again, this is one of those realities that every time people are going to look at that giant receipt and they're going to be like, what is going on? This is costing me hundreds of dollars more than last year. And I think that Republicans are doing nothing to address that issue for folks at the end of the day. And, you know, I think this is a real opportunity for the Democratic Party. You know, I think that one of the places that we fell short in 2024 was that folks really knew what we were against and who we were against, but they didn't know what we were actually standing for. And I think that when you look at our economic track record, what we can actually do, what we have done, we haven't been able to really own it in the way that we should. And we haven't had a forward-thinking, proactive, optimistic vision for the future economically. And I think that is really essential for Democrat success in 2026, including right here in Wisconsin, is to talk about what we can actually do to deliver for working people.
Yeah, and I think we're going to really get into that. That was a really good segue. You should do this for a living, man. Because like I do want to talk at the next segment about exactly that. That, you know, it's again the punditry and everyone that I was listening to. It is important to be against Trumpism because it sucks. Let's be honest. But then it's also okay. You know, what are you for? And it's interesting because the Republicans are trying to do the reverse in healthcare. We say, oh, okay, well, this Obamacare, this sucks. Where the hell's your plan? What's your idea? And for what, 20 years almost, they've got nothing. They have nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what does that mean for Wisconsin? What do these results tell us? I also want to talk about the wonderful opportunity that we have, because both in the governor's race and then in congressional races all over the state, we have people that have to go out and defend this stuff. It's going to be really, really, really hard. And it's going to be up to you and your team to tell everybody why it sucks. And so I want to talk about all of that on the other side of the break. And I'm so grateful and thankful that you're here. And we're going to talk to Devin Remicker on the other side. Stick around here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Mark Becker. Don't you know?